Welcome to a new episode of the India Independent Films Podcast. This is Rahul Desai, a film critic for Film Companion. I have with me, after a long time, Ishita Sengupta, so film critic for OTT Play. We are here this week. Uday is not here right now. I think we'll do the next podcast when he's around. But for now, we're going to be talking about a film Ishita and me managed to watch last week and reviewed. It's a Netflix film. It's a Red Chillies production, and it's a non-Shah Rukh Khan production, which tends to be interesting. We'll get into that soon. It's called Bhakshak. It stars Bhoomi Pednekar. And it's streaming on Netflix right now. It's directed by a filmmaker called Pulkit. He directed an indie called Maroon some years ago, which had Manav Kaul in it, I think, and was very interesting. Also, he directed Bose Dead or Alive, which was a web show, I think, in which Hansel Mehta was also involved. So this is technically his mainstream debut of sorts. Bhoomi Pednekar, of course, we know all about. Just a few lines about the story before we get into the discussion about the film. Bhoomi Pednekar stars as a journalist called Vaishali Singh in this film. The film itself is inspired by a real-life incident in... it's basically a case that happened in 2018 to 20. It's about... A sort of history of sexual abuse discovered in a shelter home for girls in Bihar. It was a real life story, of course, and MLA was involved along with many other complicit politicians and police men and the entire system. We've seen films like this. This is, of course, more of a journalism film because the protagonist is Vaishali. She is a very small town journalist. She stays in a sort of patriarchal environment. Her family, her husband, brother-in-law are firm beliefs that women should not be working and especially do jobs like something like journalism. But she's really passionate about her job. She runs her own channel along with a colleague called Bhaskar, who's played by the inimitable Sanjay Mishra. We'll talk about him soon. And it's basically about her uncovering what's happening in this shelter home in a neighboring town and trying to expose what's happening. And a lot of powerful politicians are involved. The ruling party is protecting them. Cops are involved. The system is basically rigged against her. And yet the film is basically about how she gets to the bottom of this and tries to shed some light on what is happening. She, of course, works on her own. She doesn't work for any national news channels because she's sort of lost faith in the reporting in this country, as a lot of people tend to. She's more of a hinterland journalist, which is very interesting because we don't see a lot of stories about them in at least Hindi cinema and mainstream Hindi cinema. So it's very interesting choice. And yeah, the film is basically about her, getting to the bottom of the case and exposing it on sort of national media. Very interesting film. It's of course very flawed. I won't say it's a solid film by any stretch of imagination. It has that classic problem of having some very progressive ideas, some great intent, some very good research, but the craft is a little flawed. There's a problem with the tone of the film. We'll get into that. Ishita, maybe a few lines about, what your first impression of the film was, because, of course, also it's a Red Chillies production. They tend to make some very interesting films, at least on a political level. And not just the Shah Rukh Khan ones like Jawan, but even I think Love Hostel was a couple of years ago. Just first impressions about Bhakshak.
Hi. Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like Red Chillies at this moment is one of the more interesting production houses working out of India, because I think they are doing, they're taking very interesting steps and You can outline the trajectory that they are following in a way that it's anti-establishment in a way, where they are questioning the power dynamics, the current climate that we are living in, the political scenario. And I thought a lot about Love Hostel while watching Bhakshak, actually. Not so much about Jawan, which later struck me that it's also a little similar to Jawan in a way. But Love Hostel a lot, because I feel like, I think that both the films, like Bhakshak and Love Hostel, they kind of, they question the, I mean, they're, they, they are in a very subliminal level, they are rooted to reality. They are rooted from, they come from real incidents, like you mentioned at the beginning, but they also point to a larger realism that we are living now. So I feel like it transcends a particular incident in the case of Bhakshak, as well as in the case of Love Hostel, which was on, you know, the whole love jihad thing, you know, of an interfaith couple. So yeah, I think that I feel like Red Chillies is a very interesting production house at the moment. And it's more interesting because they have made a film on journalism, which I feel like is almost like a very thematic extension of Jawan, which was like a vigilante drama, which was looking at us and telling us very literally that, you know, we have to be responsible as citizens. And here we have a film where I felt that in more ways than one, it was a reminder to journalists also, you know, that you know, who have probably forgotten their job in the country. You know, that and the concluding monologue of Bhumi, as on the face as it may sound, it worked for me because I felt like it was basically like a clarion call of sorts. So yeah, that was my initial thought on Bhakshak. But so yeah, I wanted to know that when you said that, you know, you had problems with the tonality, I just very curious to know what you meant by that.
Yeah, so first, basically coming to what you mentioned spot on, because Love Hostel, for those who have not watched it, please do watch it. I think it's streaming on Z5, if I'm not mistaken. That was again a very interesting film. And that's when sort of my ears also stood up. I was like, maybe Red Chillies is, you see, it's difficult to do these days, especially with Hindi cinema. You have to be very careful, very aware, very sort of almost paranoid about you know, what can be made, what cannot be made, how outspoken you can be, So I like the fact that they're choosing real life incidents and making it sort of transcend that and speaking to the India of today. Like here, as you very rightly mentioned, it's sort of a clarion call about journalism as well as the youth of this country, which Jawan was as well, except that was an actual vigilante movie. This has a heart of a vigilante movie. I think some of us mentioned in the reviews too, the similarities between this and Jawan, because even Jawan had a bunch of real life incidents. It not only critiqued, it sort of almost revised them in service of a larger message to the country. And it was a very urgent message. And I guess that's why it clicked with so many people in the country and outside. So I think Bhakshak, of course, has a ready-made device of her actually being an investigative journalist. So she can actually break the fourth wall and say it's part of my job. And I think that's why the monologue probably worked for us also in the end, even though it was on the nose. But yeah, coming to the tonality, what I was talking about is, so I think this is a problem with a lot of sort of forward-thinking progressive movies like Afwa last year especially, and, you know, Bheed to an extent. Like, there are a lot of filmmakers who are making sort of courageous films, quote-unquote, and, you know, films that are deliver strong messages in this current climate, and they do it in indirect ways sometimes, unless it was Appa, which was very direct, but they do it in indirect ways. You have to be subtle about it. But the problem is, I think a lot of them tend to go, the filmmaking itself isn't sound, the storytelling isn't sound, and they tend to go a little overboard with the spoon feeding, with the sensationalization of the events, of the incidents. And I think Bhakshak was guilty of that, especially the way they sort of portrayed what was happening in the shelter home, the villains in this whole, in the MLA and his accomplices, the system in general. I think they tend to go a little too mainstream about that. They almost fashion them as 90s villains. They waste, you know, good actor like Aditya Srivastav. And the problem is, I don't think they trust... I don't know whether it's fear or paranoia or whatever it is, but I think they also want to make it look like more of a Bollywood film. They want to make it look like more of a film and not get too close to reality in case someone within the establishment notices that they're actually taking pot shots at them. So I guess because of that, you tend to accessorize your film a little more. And I think some of it was tasteless in this film. The way they actually started with the sort of abusers in the shelter home and a girl actually being killed, a girl being abused and killed. And then there are elements of this throughout the film. You know, like you see the men operate in a very on-the-nose way. You've seen sort of caricatures like them in older Hindi films as well. And so I just felt like that they didn't need to do that. They didn't need to start the film with an incident. They didn't need to show us what was happening. I found myself thinking that since it is a film about a journalist, all they could have done is really followed Vaishali's journey and help us, the viewer, discover what she is discovering. Like, that's what journalism films do. They don't show you what is happening always when the journalist is not in the frame, or what she doesn't know, we don't know. So they could have maybe kept the narrative in sync with what Vaishali herself is finding out and investigating. And slowly, when a case comes to light, or the horrors of a case comes to light like this, the way she transforms throughout the film, and the way she gets shocked as to how many facts she's finding out about it, I think it might have served the film better if the film also was sort of her perspective, her point of view. But I think this went a little overboard with its tonality in that sense.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, I think it was like there was this, it became like an investigative journalism, and it was also like a social drama. And I think it's somewhere it was like in the dangling in the middle. But I totally agree with you when you said that, you know, that the characters were basically reduced to very one-note attributes. And it's sad because, you know, the casting is great. Like, you know, you have some like fascinating characters and actors actually working. And I felt that same for the man who was playing Bhumi's husband, because, you know, when a woman who is born in that milieu, who is taking charge and, you know, riding a scooter and going forth, my curiosity is always to see that, you know, who are the men in her family? Like, you know, it works two ways. One, to see that, you know, how she is negotiating, and how if they are empowering her, it's very cute. So, but at the beginning, I think the first scene, you know, we see him like he's like okay, and in the second scene they have a fight. In the very second scene they have a fight, and I remember questioning myself that I do not understand why a character like Bhumi would choose a man like him. So I feel like his character was, I was very dissatisfied, because it could have been very enlightening in different ways, because, you know, we always see the woman and we don't see the generally when we see these stories, we don't see the partners. And when it is a woman leading from the front, you also want to see that, you know, who is standing behind her, because you if she's born there, she would need the support. And I don't mean that in a condescending way. It just, it always helps. So I think that I felt very shortchanged also in the depiction of the husband. You know, I could get that brother-in-law bit, who obviously is not a nice person. He's a lawyer and he's scared. But yeah, the husband, I felt shortchanged. Did you feel the same?
Yeah, I agree about that. The husband thing I forgot about, but that was one of my main problems also. And you're very right, because see, the thing is, there can be conflict within the marriage, within the family. Different ideologies, and we know that the husband has been technically supporting her in indirect ways, because she started her own channel. They're talking about income in the beginning. He sounds a little resentful. He sounds like someone who's been supporting her for so long without getting anything in return, which is what a lot of partners expect at that point of time, like 2-3 years down the line. And it's possible to have those conflicts while being compatible. Here they didn't even look compatible. Like, it just felt like they were in totally different universes. It felt like Bhumi was a protagonist, a hero of the film. It almost felt like she was written by urban people, because her heroism felt very ready-made in that sense. She just felt like she was bigger than the environment she was in. And this does take place in Bihar. And I'm not saying that you can't be a certain way in Bihar. You can't be a woman like her. But it just felt like there was not enough texture behind why she is like that, and why she would choose to marry someone like that, or why their marriage even happened. Even if it was an arranged marriage and all, it just felt like she was sort of living a very different life in a very different film compared to him. He felt like he was in a film from the 90s or early 2000s. And that first argument that they have was very on the nose. You know, the dialogue wasn't very nicely written. It was fairly direct, fairly unsubtle. And he does tend to be a very one-note sort of character, which is a pity, because you want to see more of a marriage like this. And you're right that when you see women protagonists taking the lead in journalism films and films about outspokenness, about empowerment, about changing society, there's always someone behind them. And even if there is someone behind them and they are having problems within, you know, the marriage, within, in their personal lives, it should not look so different. It shouldn't be so sort of direct and caricatured that, you know, we'll just put this man as this very intolerant man till he suddenly transforms. And the transformation scene was one of the weakest scenes in the film. You know, like, she's going to the hospital, seeing her brother-in-law who was beaten up for sort of allegedly helping her, and he did not. But he basically tells them that we don't really do anything to sort of poke the beast because we are scared about our safety, about our well-being, which is a very, again, you know, it's a very good sort of message to what's been happening today and to the India of today, and how the common man, how middle class citizens are quiet because they're scared about their safety. It's not because they don't have a humanity in them, or they don't have a spine, but they're just being browbeaten into. And the brother-in-law is converted into that character, even though he's angry. But immediately you see the husband come out and sort of just very out of the blue apologize to Vaishali and say, you know, this is what happens in a patriarchal system. I'm sorry about that. I'm going to be your supporter from now on. I'm going to do whatever you ask me to. And that transformation was really lazily written because the character of the husband was not well crafted and well sketched out to begin with.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I was actually okay with the brother-in-law's character. Yeah. Because I could identify him, like I could get it, that where he's coming from. But yeah, the husband, as you said, like, which also brings me to my favorite character in the film, which is Sanjay Mishra's Bhaskar Sinha.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing is that I think it's also because of the actor that he is, that you that the fact that he has become this person, you know, who is an ally. And I think I asked very few questions when I was watching him, you know, because like, there were very few things. For instance, that, you know, that Bhumi is obviously disillusioned with the system. She doesn't want to belong to a big corporate office, and that is why she has started her own. You also see someone like Sanjay Mishra. You know, there is a scene where he shows his press card, and obviously it's not deliberate, but it's a very young Sanjay Mishra's photo in that press card. And in the milieu of the film, you feel like this man has been in journalism for years now, and he probably does not identify with what is happening right now, and that is why he's come and joined someone like Bhumi, and he actually like respects her and, you know, ties her helmet when need be, and he's like a silent support system. So I felt like, you know, also just the fact that how much an actor can also add to a role, like a good actor, you know, can add the subtext to it. So yeah, I thought that Sanjay Mishra was like great casting as usual, and he was just very good. Like, I could get where he's coming from, even though it's never spelled out.
Yeah, and it also goes so much with who he is as an actor in his career at this point of his life. And, you know, the kind of, he of course is very prolific. He does so many kinds of films. But, you know, there's always this, the way he sort of exists on the periphery of most scenes and almost like very secure about, you know, who he is. He's been a veteran. He's seen it all, done some stupid comedies, done some very good coming of age dramas, but always plays the parent in a lot of films. But then you have a film like this where, you know, you see he's been at it for 30 years and now he can afford to do films like this. He wants to maybe sort of, and this is a very good example of the ally that you were talking about, that we expected probably the husband to be something similar. Because, I mean, of course, this is more in a professional capacity. He's the veteran. She needs someone like him, of course. But there's a very small exchange in the beginning of the film where, you know, you think he's going to be one of those babus, cynical babus, like who's also corrupt, who gets transformed by what Vaishali is doing, and who starts off cynical and ends up optimistic. But honestly, he's always the same, sort of the arc is the same throughout the film. He's introduced as someone who's eating in the office, multitasking, and she sort of scolds him saying, can we now start shooting? And you think he's going to be a very lazy character. You think he's going to be a typical male in context of what the film is, but he's not like that. That was just him sort of eating in office. And then there's an exchange where he tells her that, you know, you're a female journalist, you're lucky, your safety is not so much at risk in this environment. They'll come and maybe threaten you, but we are the ones who get beaten up. You know, like, and he says something like that, not because he's sort of tone deaf or trying to like be misogynistic or be patriarchal, but it's because he's sort of led a certain kind of career and he's probably gotten into trouble times than you can count. And so that's why it's a very good point that you mentioned that, you know, he's probably seen it all, done it all, and they are more or less peas on the same pod, just different age generations.
and he could work with anyone, but he comes to work with her. And even though it's such a ramshackle setup, you see that he brings the soul within it. He knows what to do. He knows how to navigate the environment around Patna in that small town that they go to. He's always a little more intimidated than she is because, you know, he's the man and he's the one who's more liable to disappear without a trace than she is. And because she's a female journalist in this current environment, that might be more publicity about her disappearance compared to his. And those are the points that they bring home very nicely. And I like the small sort of, not just his performance, but the other small things that they do, because there are so many parts of the film where it could have taken a lazy route, like an easy route where, like, I mentioned in the review also that, you know, there was this bit where they are learning how to start their own YouTube channel and hoping the videos go viral, but it never does. All it does is get the attention of the new female DSP in town, played by Saitha Mankar. But that doesn't go the social media way. You know, it could have gone. Most other films might have just gone viral on Twitter, and then some NDTV kind of news channel might have realized it. And, you know, then the plot would have gone a little out of hand. So because it is based on true events, because it is based on the hinterland journalists who don't have much reach, who do not know how to get a lot of their stories, real journalism that they do out here, I like the fact that there are always little false dawns like that. There are little nods to how mainstream films tend to operate, but this just stops short of it. Like, even the Saitha Mankar character, when she enters, you think she's going to change everything, but even her hands are tied. She very frankly tells Vaishali that, listen, I'm tied by the law. I can't do anything, even though I've broken ground to be here as a woman. But I can tell you what you can do. You'll have to fight fire with fire, basically. And she doesn't really do much except come to arrest the people. And even in the end, the men, all the politicians who are responsible for hiding things up are the ones who take the credit. So again, speaking to a very contemporary India, speaking to the headlines we sort of read and listen to, but don't know the stories behind it. So, you know, there are things that the film does well.
Yeah, actually, like, you're right about that social media thing, because at some point when Bhumi's character asks Sanjay Mishra's son how to use Twitter and everything, I actually thought that this is how it will now conclude. And in a very strange way, it was reminding me, because I think the way she was going about it and also trying to understand this new medium of journalism she has chosen for herself, it kind of reminded me of Khabar Lehriya. You know, that group of journalists who the documentary writing with fire follow. And it just, obviously, they're like, she's obviously more privileged than them. And she's also one woman army in a way. But I felt like that the whole, the way she was trying to understand the new language of journalism today, to have a better reach, and then faltering and failing at it. So yeah, that reminded me a bit of Khabar Lehriya. And you're right. Like, I thought that they would take the easy way out. And I think that the length of the film, or just the form of the film, was also mimicking it. Like, you could feel that it's building up to something and then it collapses, and then again it builds up to something and it collapses. And yeah. Also, I feel like I really like that bit in your review, in which I thought of later. One is, of course, that Sanjay Mishra exchange, which you said. Funnily enough, I wrote it in my notes, and when I was writing the review, I think I missed seeing my notes. And later, when I was going through my notes, I just saw there was this exchange where a man is telling a woman that, you know, it's easier for you. And I'm like, who told that to whom in the film? And later I realized it's Sanjay Mishra. And it's such a pertinent point, because you realize that later in the film, Bhumi's character, basically, they don't do it because they have a discussion that, you know, she's a woman journalist, and it will draw a lot of flack if they actually attack her, you know. And so Sanjay Mishra's fears were right. And the other one, you know, like, just to go back to the husband's character, and there's this bit you mentioned, which I thought was very interesting, that, you know, we just get one scene where he's riding the scooty and it's mentioned press. And you know that for this, that I think that only one insight I got through, you know, your review and the scene in the film, is that he probably likes the idea of his wife being a journalist. He likes to ride a scooter that says press, which adds a social prestige, but he cannot deal with the fact that, you know, she is a journalist. And I really wish the film delved a little more into that, because I thought that was very interesting. Like, if at all that was the case.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know, if again, you know, if they had stuck to one point of view, like a journalistic point of view in the film, and I'm not saying don't have the monologues, don't have, you know, those speeches and all, have it, like, by all means. I think they work wonders for films like this that can't afford to be too subtle. But, you know, if we would have got more insight into a scene like that, or their marriage, or the dynamics in the household or in the family, or their relationship, if the film had not concentrated so much on what is all the darkness that is unfolding within the shelter home itself. And they spend a lot of time on that. Like, for example, there's that flashback when Vaishali and Bhaskar go to sort of start digging in, and they find this girl who used to once work there as a cook, and they coax her to give her story, and they promise to keep her name secret, and she then sort of narrates her experience of, you know, what happened there. And that flashback, first of all, takes up so much time, and secondly, it's designed also in it didn't feel like it should have been part of this film. Like, it just felt like it was too convenient. Like, that girl just is hired as a cook. Everyone, like, they're all evil characters, all the wardens and the sort of officers, and everyone is evil. Everyone is in on it. Every time she opens a door in the middle of the night, there's something ghastly going on. Either there's abuse, or there is this woman who's sort of exploiting the other girls, or there is someone else. And the lighting also in the corridors is so, it's almost like the director wants to show off that I'm technically also a little, I can make these very hard-hitting films, like, you know, films that we've seen about sex trafficking, about abuse. And it just gets a little carried away with that. And it can be called exploitative also, because I don't like films that go overboard in their depiction of such abuse when so much of it is in our head already, and we know exactly what they are talking about. We don't have to see it explicitly. And that doesn't mean we are trying to escape it or be in denial about it or running away from the truth. It means that we don't need the film to hand it to us on a sort of a platter on or spoon feed it, saying this is how bad it is. Like, and they do it like time and again in this film. And I feel like it takes up a lot of bandwidth that you could have given someone like Vaishali. You could have given someone like Bhaskar, known more about his life also, known more about like so many things happening. So, so I didn't like all the portions in which the bad men and the MLAs and what was happening inside was happening, because we've seen that. And if a Western film had made it, we'd call it like sort of, exotic Western gaze and poverty porn and, you know, exploitative porn. And this comes very close to that. And this film does not like, it doesn't have to be like nuanced or subtle, but I think that's where, you know, it sort of faltered in terms of perspective. It wanted to give too holistic a view of the whole incident instead of being just purely a journalism film.
Yeah, I agree, you know, that holistic thing. And just to bring back to the point that you had mentioned once, that Bhumi, like most films actually, we see that the protagonist seems to know better, even though there is no reason why. They don't give us a reason why, but she just knows better. And you know that conversation where she has with that girl who escaped, where she tells her that, you know, you have to speak up and all, I felt like, as rousing as it was also a little irresponsible, because the thing is that, you know, she obviously comes from a very economically deprived background, more than Bhumi. And this girl who she's asking to speak up is obviously more vulnerable, you know, to consequences. And the fact that a journalist does not consider that, like, she's so into the moment that she tells her that, you know, you have to speak up, if not you can know. I just felt like this was a little bit of a false note in the film, because, you know, for a large part it felt like it was responsible, because it, you know, you would think that someone like Bhumi's character would know that it's more difficult for the girl to speak up.
It's true, it's that urban savior syndrome or the upper caste savior syndrome or male savior, whatever, that so many films fall prey to, whether they're male filmmakers most of the time. You see Akshay Kumar characters, you see any of the characters, or you see Made in Heaven also, you know, the kind of sort of on the nose sort of voiceovers that it does, you can tell that the filmmakers are from a slightly more privileged environment, that they are directing a film in which they are intent on teaching everyone a lesson rather than, you know, being sort of consumed by the humanity of the film. And you're right that Bhumi's character, being a journalist, should have known better, especially because she's spent most of her career getting people to speak up or getting people to speak at all. And it's even more of a false note, because Bhaskar's character just before that, or a couple of scenes before that, asks her very like on the nose so that the audience understands, saying, why don't women like her speak up? And that's when Bhumi's character actually says that, you know, they can't afford to. and because, you know, it's easy for us, and but people like them. So she does give that politically correct answer. She gives that very nice virtue signaling answer that a lot of us like to see, who, you know, do have no idea about this environment. But then after that, she sort of defies it herself by like forcing that girl to speak up with a monologue. I had no problem with the monologue itself, but you're right that, you know, the context was a little off. Which brings me to, you know, Bhumi Pedekar herself. What do you make of her, first of all? Because I know she's a very interesting actress. I don't know where to really slot her till this film. And what did you make of her performance in this?
I actually quite liked her in the film. And it's really fascinating and impressive to what she's doing. Like, I just have her filmography open up before me. And it's like, you know, she started from 2015 with Dam Laga Ke Haisha, and 2019 she was doing Soncheria. So, and it was like, and by then you can almost see that every year she did, you know, a film which was a little different, or in the sense it was not mainstream in that sense. And in the last couple of years, I feel like, see, these actors obviously are not that, you know, it's very difficult today to understand who what believes in what. But I feel like, and work is the only parameter we have. And by that logic, I feel like Bhumi is actually making an effort consistently to work in a certain kind of a politically aware film, which is rare today. And she's displaying a bravery or courage, which a lot of mainstream actors don't. Like, you know, just if you just see that, for example, in 2022, she did Bheer, she did Afwa, and this is Bhakshak. And Bheer and Afwa were the two films we spoke about a lot last year because of the social realities they were rooted in. So I really find her trajectory very interesting. And I really liked her in the film as well. I thought that the fact that, you know, that she can easily blend in the crowd. And I think it was used very well, because the last scene where before the monologue, when the revelation happened and the police, they enter and they arrest the people. You know, she just melts in the crowd, which works for an actor like Bhumi. I feel like, you know, someone else would have stuck out. Yeah, so I really find her very fascinating.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, whenever we see her in most films, we're like, yeah, she's okay. She's not that impressive. She doesn't stand out like, say, someone like a Deepika or an Alia or you know, the sort of the headlining actresses that we are used to. But she's been consistently there. And with this film, her filmography really opened out to me also, the way you mentioned it. Because you realize that she's not just socially aware, she's also politically very aware, which is rare now. And I won't say that, oh, that means she's, you know, aligned to a certain faction or whatever it is. But it's important to be politically expressive and to be not just like an armchair activist and say that these are the kind of films I want to do. I'm a social message filmmaker. I'm a social message actor, actress. But she's been consistently doing these kind of films. And Bheer and Afwa was such a, like, were it, I mean, it's no coincidence that Sudhir Mishra and Anubhav Sinha, probably the most liberal, sort of left liberal filmmakers out there right now, are, along with like Kashyap and Hansal. But that's the thing. And none of them, not all of them have been commercially successful, you know, like, sure, Badai, though, was, you know, the talk of the town. It took time. It became a sleeper hit. It was received on streaming also when it released very well. And that was one of her finer performances as well. But she's always been there. Like, you tend, when she's actually acting within the film as the character she is, you don't think much of it. You're like, yeah, okay, cool. Then you can concentrate on other things like screenplay, like the direction, like what is happening around her, like the writing, the messaging, what is happening. So she does not like obstruct you from seeing what the film is trying to accomplish. And I think that's a good thing also, to meld into that crowd, as you put it in that scene, is a metaphor for her career also. And I think that really stands out in a film like this, because as a journalist, you will not get, especially as a journalist in small town Bihar, you're not going to get the credit that, say, the eventually the people who, the Indian Expresses and the Hindustan Times who break it, where we were researching for this film, we were only finding headlines in English language national newspapers. You know, we didn't know, who knows what kind of Hindi on the ground reporting was done to actually start reporting about this case. And Bhumi plays that character here. And in the end, the film is very pragmatic about the fact that, you know, it shows us the politician, the CM speaking, saying, you know, this is, we bat for women empowerment. This is one of the main things we did. We punished everyone. And we do know the truth that the CBI was sitting on it and they were protecting certain politicians themselves. And everyone else takes credit in this film. But Bhumi is Bhumi's character just gives the monologue in the end, and it's a very pained monologue. It's something that Shah Rukh did in Jawan, and this is of course far more low-key, but I like that the film ended like that, because we thought the film ended before that, and that felt like a post-credit sequence here. And I think Bhumi's performance made a big difference in terms of how it melds into its environment and doesn't, and refuses to stand out or snatch the limelight. Even though a protagonist isn't very well written, I think there were things that could have been done better about Vaishali, especially her ready-made sort of protagonist syndrome. But I think Bhumi was very good casting, and I'm very sort of impressed with, you know, the 2014 and 15 ke baad, what all she's done and the kind of art that she's been going. And you can sense that a lot of the activism, a lot of the messaging isn't empty. It's below, because she believes in a lot of it, even if not the films like that she does on the side, a few entertainers on the side. But this is a good showcase for her.
Yeah, absolutely. So on that note, I want to know what you thought of the monologue. I know you said you liked it, but like generally I don't like monologues, you know, which basically tells you this is what the film is about. But it worked for me, but I want to hear first from you.
But you mentioned, right, it's a Ravish Kumar tone that the journalist uses here, Vaishali. And she is, it's more of an op-ed, it's commentary on the nation as well, with a little bit of reporting put into that. So you're basically, you're more of a commentator than a journalist at that point. And I like that, I like journalists like that who do not step back from like airing their opinions, their views, and not only sticking to facts, but also deriving interpretations from facts and directly calling spades and directly addressing the nation in their own voice, saying this is what I think is happening, whether you want to believe me or not. And I think Bhumi did that in this, you know, of course it was a rap on the knuckles. Again, like it was talking about the same things, you know, Facebook generation, how we just move on after reading headlines and don't think about it after that. And these things keep happening. We keep like outraging about them for 2-3 days. It was very contemporary. We've heard this in other films, in bigger films. But I felt like she got that. I felt like she might have studied a little bit of sort of, you know, Ravish Kumar's videos or some other Hindi language journalist videos to get that slightly sarcastic tone without really making it appear entirely cynical. Like, because it's very easy to be cynical if you're a reporter like that. It's not easy to be those journalists because they are fighting the system. And she is here a woman as well. So she's doubly doing it. So you can totally understand that tone she uses in the end. And I love sort of, you know, journalists that go beyond their memo and, you know, and not only like, and you know, go beyond the facts and give you the entire picture and sort of then write an essay about it and sort of air that essay. So the monologue worked for me because of that.
Yeah, that only. Like, I agree. The fact that, and you know, the idea that also I feel the monologue worked because, you know, that had she belonged to a legacy media house and done the same, then it would have had a false note. But here, you know, that this is, everything is in her control. She's not answering to anyone. This is her makeshift office. There is Sanjay Mishra holding the camera for her. So she has that liberty and to speak her mind, you know, which, so I think that also, like, that Ravish Kumar thing, what I found very, like, very funny is that I remember last year when I was doing a piece on While We Watched, which is a documentary on Ravish Kumar, I was interviewing the filmmaker Vinay Shukla. And I had asked him that, you know, why were you drawn towards Ravish Kumar, and he had told me this, which I found very similar to here. He was like, you know, when generally these days, when you look at any news channel, you see that the anchors basically they praise us for watching it. They say that, you know, you have made the right decision by watching our channel, and that is why our TRP is the highest. So basically, they put the, like, they mollycoddle the audience. And then he was like, and then I heard Ravish Kumar, who was lambasting the audience, saying that you don't know shit. Like, because of you, this is the condition we are living in. Because you watch these channels, we are in this rot. And I felt in a very strange way. I'm sure it was not absolutely non-deliberate. I'm pretty sure the filmmakers knew what they were doing. But the fact that Bhumi held us accountable, very much like Shah Rukh did, but in the capacity in Jawan, but here in the capacity of a journalist, I felt it was very similar to Ravish Kumar, to an independent journalist, you know, in a broader sense, who is tired of the system. You know, and there's this one bit where she tells the girl that, you know, you think I don't want to work in a big, you know, I didn't want this luxury, I didn't want a car, I just, you know, I had that aspiration, but it didn't work out in a way that she chose not to do it. So, yeah, so I felt like it was, that is why I think it worked. I felt it was very interesting, the way they put the monologue at the end,
That's a lovely sort of anecdote about While We Watched, and in general about, like, Ravish Kumar and the kind of journalism they tend to represent, and just that kind of tone, which is very difficult to get. And you're right that, you know, someone like Vaishali Singh, who's the fictional character in this film, has earned the right to be like that towards the end of the film. You've seen her go through what she did for months and months. She had to almost compromise on her own integrity to get the truth out. Of course, in the end, she didn't. But there were little lies that she had to live by. There were little performative things that they had to do. They had to trick a few politicians. They had to do things. But she, in the end, she just about managed to stick to her own ideals, her own principles. And she knew that something, a case like that, almost broke her. And that was only the beginning. The film refuses to give you that happily ever after. And that's what journalists like Ravish Kumar, journalists like Vaishali Singh will refuse to tell you, that everything is fine just because the perpetrators have been outed or they've been sentenced to prison and all, because nothing is fine. And because we have to be held accountable for even sort of enabling an environment where these things happen on a daily basis. And that's why I felt like Bhumi's performance really added to that tone, really helped us read between the lines of the kind of journalism that she's portraying, the kind of journalism that the film wants to portray. So, you know, even though it isn't perfect, I think I took out more positives from this film than, you know, the very obvious negatives. And of course, it might just get lost amongst the clutter by the end of the year. It's only February. But in terms of how we represent journalism in Hindi cinema, this should definitely be in the conversation, at least in the future, when we think about films that did it right, did it wrong, did it interestingly, because this is the only film that, first of all, does it in a particular kind of, like, region, in a particular kind of genre, and then, you know, has basically holding the people who watch these telecasts accountable as well. So, is there anything else you'd like to add about the film?
Just one bit, and this is like an observation. So I feel like, you know, because we watch films on a daily basis every Friday, I have, as an audience, I've become extremely wary of a film that says based on true events, because you see how it can be used as a crutch and weaponized to amplify propaganda. And we have seen it in the past. We just saw it at on Fighter, where, you know, they took they took something and they completely made a whatever mess of it. And, you know, when the film started and it just said it's based on some true events, and I felt like it was such a nice callback to Time of Innocence, you know, when that disclaimer meant something. It meant that the film is trying to speak truth to power, you know, and not just amplify power. So I think that was my small takeaway from the film, which I felt very reassured.
Yeah, I know. You're right about the wariness that has set in because of the revisionism they keep doing, and they take facts and sort of twist it to suit the current sort of climate, the current political narrative. I read up about the case after watching the film and realized that, of course, the journalist is fairly fictional or whatever it is, but it's an amalgamation of the kind of journalism that made something like this come to light, you know, the reporters like this, and the kind of system that they had to fight, which is still relevant today. It was relevant 20 years ago, whether it was the Congress ruling or the BJP ruling. So without being too obvious about, like, without being too dissenting also, it managed to make its point. So that's a fair note to end probably this podcast on. Bhakshak, it's a fairly small film, so if you all can watch it, it's like barely 2 hours. It's on Netflix, streaming right now. We'd love to know what you think. It's, as we said, not a perfect film, but a very interesting film. Starts discourse. Not a lot of people talking about it, probably because it does a few things wrong. But I hope it remains in conversation maybe towards the end of the year when we start doing a list. But thank you for listening, and we will be back soon. A lot of releases coming up this month, so you will hear more from us, me, Ishita, and Uday, hopefully, as well. And thank you for listening, and do write into us if you have any suggestions. We are on Twitter at Real Reptile and Madam Sam Gupta. See you soon.